Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Continuing our study in 1 Kings, all for a vineyard. Israel is in a terrible state of spiritual decay. It's divided into the north and the south. And the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, has gotten into terrible, terrible idolatry. God is working to try to reach King Ahab, of course, the people. But what an influence leadership can have on people. And so it is. Elijah was called. The contests on Mount Carmel, the drought, the fire, then even the earthquake and the great wind to get Elijah's attention. So it is that God is working to reach people, and it has been that way throughout the years of this earth. God is trying to get sinners to come to reality and understand He is God. Well, recently we've been considering two confrontations where Syria is going to attack Israel. And God is going to do a great work to deliver this great army two times into the hand of Ahab for the purpose that Ahab should know that I am the Lord. There are two invasions, two attacks, back to back. And in those passages, it's almost verbatim that God is doing this so that Ahab would see God is the Lord. Oh, the mercy of God. But do you realize when you have hard-headed leadership, how many people died in battle? What if the leaders would have sought the Lord and pass that on to their soldiers? God loves sinners, but He surely hates the sin. And we see that Elijah has been put on a shelf for a while, and God is using other prophets. Elijah thought he was the only one, and God is making His point. You're not the only one. I have 7,000 others, and by the way, I'm going to use some other prophets for a while. Elijah, get your thinking straightened out. Well, our text for tonight is chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word that Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the king of Israel? Arise! Eat bread, let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him out and stoned him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had said unto them. And it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. What a pathetic story. Verses 1 to 4, Ahab seeks to purchase the vineyard or secure it from Naboth. 5 to 7, Jezebel learns why Ahab is so upset. 8 through 10, Jezebel plots against Naboth without Ahab's knowledge. Naboth is falsely accused, tried, and executed, and Jezebel tells Ahab that Naboth is dead. Ahab claims the vineyard. We have the ongoing selfishness of Ahab. Not looking at all for God, cannot see all that God has done for him. And a man will die because of a vineyard. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard or close by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. After these things, what things? It's calling to remembrance, reader. The things that God is using to reveal himself to Ahab. The drought, the fire from heaven, the rain, the Syrians defeated twice. Ahab was confronted and rebuked by the prophet for sparing Ben-Hadad. After these things, when will you wake up? It's amazing that Ahab refused to acknowledge God's hand in his life and that he truly was God. He just remained hard and refused to submit to God. It's sad. Have you ever met somebody like that? They just don't want to hear about religion. They will one day. Verse 2, and Ahab spake to Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Vegetables is what it is. Ahab was enticed by the things of this earth. He longed for something that was not for him to have. He desired something that would not last, and he forsook the spiritual things that will last forever. Ahab dwelled in a palace. Now he wants a vineyard. He's not content with what he had. He already had a vineyard. He admitted that. He ruled over 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he wanted more. He knew no limit. Gimme, gimme, gimme. A person who seeks things for satisfaction will never have enough. Verse 3. Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So here is Naboth's reasoning. The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Let me quote, Naboth, however, was perfectly within his rights in rejecting the offer. It was the inheritance of his fathers and considerations nothing short of sacred, considerations which then or afterwards found a place in the written statutes of the nation, made it wrong in his judgment to sell it. He sturdily refused the offer of the king. It was his land, and he said, I don't want to sell it. Now, it is interesting, as you consider this land, we must take into consideration a passage in the law about the year of Jubilee. You have in your notes there Leviticus 25, a little segment of the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, you had to give it all back. Throughout the years, if you had a piece of land and somebody wanted to buy it, and if the year of Jubilee is 49 years away, you're going to ask a pretty high price of it, because I'm not going to have that use of that land for 49 years. But if next year is the year of Jubilee, they're not going to pay much for it. Now, isn't that an incredible economy that God set forth? Prices don't go inflating out of sight. They decrease according to God's plan. Is that amazing? Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where Israel ever exercised the year of Jubilee and gave it all back. And to verify it, I ask Google, and Google couldn't find a place where it's in the Bible that the Jews ever said, okay, give it back. Let us read Leviticus 25:11. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed, for it is Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you, and ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of Jubilee you shall return every man unto his possession. Give it back. It was a great equalizer. If you would have obeyed that, it would have taken care of a lot of financial problems. But alas, how often do people neglect the Word of God? We're not under the year of Jubilee. But I have a feeling if we were, many people wouldn't obey it. There are other rules that the year of Jubilee took care of. Brothers that became poor, some that had nothing to redeem it. They could not restore it. They just did not have the ability. God made provisions, if you read that in Leviticus 25. So it is, God gave directions concerning the ownership of land. Now, should Naboth have sold it because of the year of Jubilee? Didn't say he had to sell it. He could have sold it, and he would have gotten it back. Well, maybe. Ahab wanted this vineyard. Now, you know what that is? I mean, I really want that thing. I want that. Let us read Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, which is part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I want it. I want it. Who's wrong here? One guy is violating the guidelines of coveting things, and one's refusing to sell, which is legally in his jurisdiction. The land deal falls through, and Ahab goes into great self-pity, throwing an adult temper tantrum. 1 Kings 21:4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give it thee, the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid on his bed, turned his face away, and you can hear the violins, you poor baby. He would eat no bread. Jezebel says, why is thy spirit so bad, and thou eatest no bread? And he told her, because Naboth wouldn't give me his vineyard. Verse 6, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard. Well, if you've already got one, why do you want mine? They can't be that far away from each other. They had to be very similar. They had the same climate. They had the same soil. He was not happy with the palace and all that went therein. He had to have that vineyard. Have you noticed that a person who's not content in life is miserable? He was miserable in the palace. And Paul wrote from a Roman prison cell, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, for whatsoever state I am therewith, to be content. Learn to be content. We're not naturally content. Babies cry, mine. Learn to be content. It's a mental attitude. Material things don't make you happy. It's a choice. But Ahab has forgotten all his many blessings. He has forgotten that God has delivered the Syrian army into his hand 2 times. I want a vineyard. Now I want you to consider this. 1 Kings 21:3. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me." Please go down to verse 4 to what Ahab said to his wife. In verse 4, Ahab came into the house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he said, "I will not give thee." He gave no credibility that the man felt he was doing what God wanted him to do. But of course, Ahab doesn't want to hear anything about God. So this man says, "No, no, God forbid, I can't do that." And Ahab saying, "Why not? I do whatever I want. Who's God? I will not give it thee, the inheritance of my fathers." But he left out the reference to God. Ahab, like selfish people, will not tell the truth, and they want to shift the blame. Well, it's not because this man has a conviction for Jehovah. Oh, no, he just won't give it to me. He would not admit that his desire was contrary to God's plan. 7. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Come on, you're the king, get up. Eat bread, let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Now obviously Jezebel is not a good woman. She has rejected God and worshipped idols. If you remember back when there was the contest up on Mount Carmel, the prophets came that ate at the table of Jezebel. Wicked, wicked prophets. She heard what God did on Mount Carmel, and she still made no effort toward God. She did not encourage her husband to do right. She would lie, as we will see, and murder to get a vineyard for her husband. She had the mindset that having authority meant having whatever was desired, no matter the cost. She's one wicked woman. The importance of picking a good spouse. Ahab must have thought, "Boy, oh boy, is she pretty," or whatever. "She will be a real, real asset because we can now have an alliance," whatever. Beauty and other attributes that are temporary fade. Godliness matures and flourishes in a godly woman. That's true beauty. Verse 8, "And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth." We don't know, but I assume Ahab knew she was up to something. She said, "I'm going to get this thing for you." And she's accessing his name, and she's writing a letter in his name going out, and Ahab does nothing to stop it. Now, how did she do this? Take a look at verse 9. "And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast." Why? Because it is implying there's a real problem, so I have to act with authority. So she is now alarming the nation. "And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people." This fast is an act of humility before God to bring help. "We need you, dear God. We're fasting." And she's going to hire men of Belial, and she's going to kill a man, and she has absolutely no concern for God or truth or decency. It's all a show for power. Verse 10, "They set 2 men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. This fast was decreed because somebody blasphemed God. And I don't know about you, but as we read this, it would be, you did, Jezebel. You did, Ahab. And you have the audacity to blame this guy because he will not give his vineyard to Ahab. The infamous pot calling the kettle black. You are doing the same thing. You are proclaiming a fast because of this awful person. Let us read the law. What does the law say about blaspheme? Leviticus 24:15, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth in the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him. I find it interesting that Jezebel knew that. As well the stranger, as he that is born in the land, as he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. But why wasn't Ahab confronted for his violation of the commandment, don't covet? Can you say hypocrisy? Can you say self-righteousness? So much for spiritual truth. She planned ungodly witnesses to testify against Naboth. She will stop at nothing to get her own way. Verse 11, and the men of his city, Naboth's city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. Now, I believe that Ahab knew something was up. He didn't know necessarily what was up. But I personally had to believe he probably heard about proclaiming a fast and all these people are assembling. I personally think that Ahab knew, or at least surely strongly suspected, there's something not right here, but I really like that vineyard. And the men of the city, verse 11, even the elders and nobles who were the inhabitants thereof, to Jezebel sent unto them, it was written, which she had sent unto them, you're going to stone this man. Now, let's jump ahead a little bit, go to verse 14. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned. She wasn't there, but she gets this message. Why are we responding? It was all done in the king's name. Why is it now we have to respond to Jezebel? We can't prove it. I personally think, well, I want it to be a surprise. Oh, honey, I got the vineyard for you. Only a conjecture. Life is very bad for people when the government is corrupt. There is a pretense of righteousness here, the fast, to show that the government detects something is amiss in Israel before God. And this implied that the government was in harmony with God and was being sensitive to his leading and seeking his guidance. They had a pretense of justice following the fast. They implied that God had honored that fast and has exposed the source of the evil. Solomon wrote in the Proverbs, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Is that not so true? Therefore, Christians, we need to pray for our leaders. The people suffer under corrupt government. The corruption here, stop and think what Jezebel has done among her own people. They're not going to trust each other. You know, you might tomorrow accuse me of blasphemy. And the queen might also do something, you know, these nobles and elders are getting these letters. Whoa, I could be next. And it causes discord among the people. Which of my neighbors is going to turn me in? Well, they didn't realize nobody turned them in. Jezebel just made all this up because her husband wants a piece of land. the men of his city, elders, nobles, they were the ones. They convicted. Why? Because they knew if they did not do what Jezebel said, they were next. Naboth was betrayed by his neighbors and friends from his city. You would constantly be looking behind you. This is what she has created. Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. Where's that in Scripture? God was talking about blaspheming him. We have here a blatant lie. And she can take a man's life for a vineyard. Now notice this. We're going to kind of get ahead here. 2 Kings, many chapters later, in 2 Kings 9:26, there's something interesting here. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons. Well, if he says, I don't want the family heritage to leave, I want, you know, that was my dad's and I want to pass it on, Jezebel must have thought, we better kill the boys too. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. God saw what happened. And it's going to take some time, but God is going to show his hand. The decree of Jezebel's punishment is pronounced. We will see this more in our next study, 1 Kings 21:23. And Jezebel spake unto the Lord, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the well of Jezreel. And in 2 Kings 9, where the blood of the boys was also seen, it came to be. She was thrown out of a window, died on impact, and the dogs ate her. 12, they proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. There came two men and sat before them, and the men of Belial witnessed against them, even against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Proverbs 18:5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Verse 14, then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. 15, it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, honey, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. Verse 16, it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession. He had no consideration that a man died. His sons died. Who knows how far the family extended that suffered the loss of these people? Jezebel and Ahab had no regard for human life, justice, righteousness, families, the consequences of sin on the future. They didn't care. They didn't care. I want a vineyard. Ahab blindly obeyed Jezebel. Just go ahead. Okay. He never asked, well, what happened? Well, don't bother him. But he never asked. He didn't even care. How did this thing become available? So it is now the people are living in fear because of a corrupt government. Was Naboth obligated to sell that land? Was his death punishment from God? You should have sold it. The Bible doesn't come out and tell us that. The Bible does not say, and for not selling the land, Naboth died. It doesn't say that. There have been good people throughout the years that have suffered at the hands of ungodly people. He did not have to sell that. It is not for sale. And they had to conspire against him to secure that piece of land. Personally, I see no compelling reason for Naboth to have sold his land. If he doesn't want to sell it, he didn't have to sell it. And we can look at it and say, yes, but if he would have sold it, he'd still be alive. How would he know the king was going to kill him? Or at least the king's wife. So it is the reality of life. We will have to make some decisions. In this case, it was, do you want to sell this piece of land? No. And it's not for somebody else to step on our perfectly right decisions. You have no jurisdiction. There is no compelling reason why I need to sell that to you. I don't care if you're the king. I think he was within his legal rights to say no. I don't have to sell that. That vineyard meant more than human life to Ahab. It meant more than decency. And Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart, the innermost thinking of a man, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ahab and Jezebel were blinded by sin. A man died and they had absolutely no remorse. Oh well, it's a vineyard. Hey guys, don't forget to clean up the body down there. They had no concern. Father God, let us not be blinded by sin. Let us keep ourselves pure, that we have a good relationship with you, that you can give us wisdom in daily living. Help us to take truths from this passage about selfishness, about the incredible capacity within people to do wrong, to see the importance of godly people in leadership. Thank you for this time in your word, in Christ's name.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.